Radio Loop by Usurabi, Remains of the Light is the LP, which came out last year on An Archives. Patrick, you were talking about vinyl, your most recent record, Hidemi, which came out last year, and it featured your grandfather and your father on the cover. Did your father get the chance yet to listen to the album?
I think he did. I am not sure. Originally, I wanted to present everything to them when the vinyl was done. I got the CDs, and so I gave it to him. I know at least he listened to the last track on the record. In this crazy turn of events, that song was on like the LA Times Best 100 list of last year, which is fucking crazy. So that came out, and he saw that, and he's like, oh, cool. I think he listened to it at home when I wasn't there. But that was really nice because, you know, my dad knows what the LA Times is, and so that's something he could relate to, you know. He hasn't really listened to a majority of my work, and, you know, that's probably because it is very abrasive, you know, a lot of abrasive sounds, and not traditional at all for the most part, you know. I think it was nice for him to hear, like, oh, he could write something that's not that ugly sounding.
The album Hidemi did really well in the end of year lists. You mentioned some publications that featured it. How do you approach that whole thing of ending up on those lists?
I mean, it's a weird feeling, you know. Especially with my solo work, it tends to be very personal topics, right? And so, you know, Dissension also was very personal, and Hidemi even more so. I was kind of unsure about even releasing it to the world at several points in, you know, the creation of it and everything. And so I'm glad I did, just because it, you know, it seemed like it resonated with a lot of people. The fact that people even still listen to my music is still kind of crazy to me, you know, like strangers. And the fact that we're doing this, it's, you know, I'm super grateful. And, you know, I'm grateful for you guys for listening and, you know, talking to me.
Off of Hidemi, this is The Long Bright Dark by Patrick Shiroishi. The Long Bright Dark by Patrick Shiroishi off of Hidemi, which came out last year on American Dreams. Next up, we got Don Cherry. Patrick picked one of his albums, actually a reissue that came out last year. Was originally recorded in 72 on a jazz festival in France. So Don Cherry, is he one of your musical heroes?
Yes, definitely. He really is. And, you know, Ornette is, you know, a god on the alto, which is my favorite saxophone to play. And Don is just, he's just so explorative, you know, in his different approaches and what he accomplished in his career. You know, and these two records that came out is like super different than, you know, what he was doing with Ornette and even his stuff as a leader, like Complete Communion. But he's just inspirational, I think, as a human being and a musician, you know, and I really take from that spirit. You know, I think a lot of times I gravitate more towards horn players, especially saxophone players. But Don is just a different being, you know.
A lot of musicians, when they start learning music, maybe not consciously, but in some way imitate certain other musicians that they really like. At what point in your career did you finally feel like you had developed your own style?
I still think I'm working on that. You know, I think I'm still working on my own voice on the instrument. And that's something where, you know, I don't know if I'll ever get to that point, but I hope to. You know, I think that's the goal as far as something personal. It doesn't help that there's a million trillion saxophone players, you know, let alone alto sax. But hopefully I can get to the point where, you know, someone will hear, you know, 10, 15 seconds of me playing, be like, oh, that's Patrick. You know, we'll see.
Don Cherry's new researches, Reza.
Dama, ba, ma, pa, pa. Da sa 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 ni da ma ga ma pa 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 ma ga sa ga ma pa 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 ma ga sa re sa re sa re sa pa da sa 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 ni da ma ga ma pa 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 ma ga sa ga ma pa 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 ma ga sa re sa re
Reza by Don Cherry's New Researches, live recording from 72, released last year on Blank Forms. Next up, Patrick picked Song of the Album, and then there's this by Artifacts, came out on Astral Spirits last year. You said that you were from LA, but this is more Chicago-based. Do you follow that scene?
Yeah, I follow it as much as I can as a listener. You know, I haven't had the chance to tour as much as I'd like, so I haven't even made my way to Chicago yet. I'm hoping to do that maybe this year or maybe next year. But yeah, the Chicago scene is super strong and it's been around for so long. You know, they really have just a strong foundation and support. And yeah, the players are all really great. Yeah, and speaking of that, you know, Nate, with Astral Spirits, he's really built something for that label. I've had the honor of, you know, releasing several records with him, and you know, he's the guy. He's the free jazz guy in America, I think. You know, he puts out incredible amounts of music, all fucking good. Yeah, and I just really am grateful that we have something like that here in the States. You know, I feel like Europe has a really supportive, you know, I don't know if it's the listeners or you know, labels, but I feel like Europe is more of a home, has a home for that kind of music. And so I'm glad that we have something that's, you know, people can recognize here in the States.
Thank you.
Blessed by Artifact off of And Then There's This, came out last year on Astral Spirits. Next up is Amber Navran. And I have to congratulate you because, if I'm not mistaken, you guys just got married about a month ago, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So where did you guys first meet?
We first met at my job 10 years ago. And we were, you know, when I first saw her, I was like, oh, very attractive, you know. And, you know, I could hear her play through the walls. Anyways, long story short, the timing was just never right. You know, we were either dating someone or she was dating someone when I was single. I was dating someone when she was single. And finally, like three, four years ago, timing worked. And she's the best person I know. You know, she's super supportive. You know, as you'll hear, she's also a musician, incredible musician, in a different world, not in like the avant-garde world, you know, but still just fantastic. And yeah, I'm a huge, huge fan of what she does. And I'm very lucky because I get like the sneak peeks of things that she's working on and kind of can hear it evolve. And yeah, she's just fucking incredible.
So you're both musicians. Did you ever, put up music together?
She did appear in a 10 tet that I have called Danketz 10. So we're, pretty big ensemble. Unfortunately, because of COVID, we haven't really been able to do much, you know. But she appeared in that, and she did contribute some field recordings to my record Holy Alone that came out 2020, if I believe is right. Yes, 2020. But yeah, she's great. She comes out to shows, you know, super supportive. It's great. I'm really lucky.
La Staya Love by Amber Navran.
But I
Well, Style Love by Amber Navran of her Speak Up EP, which came out in 2017. We've already talked about jazz. We talked about your love of punk. But hip-hop, so far, we haven't touched upon yet. So you picked Mad Villain for us.
Yep. Rest in peace, MF Doom.
You picked a song which originally appeared on the album Mad Villainy, Rhinestone Cowboy, but you picked the Fortet remix. Why exactly that remix?
I think I wanted to switch it up, you know? I thought, for me, Mad Villainy is a absolute classic. You know, it's unfuckable. It's just perfect, you know, from top to bottom. And I want to say typically I don't really like remixes that much. But the Fortet, you know, EP that he did was fucking, it blew my mind. I was like, whoa, like, I actually really fuck with these. And it gave a new life to the songs, which, you know, I think is the whole goal of a remix. And so I wanted to switch it up. This is not a diss to Madlib, because I think he's also one of the greatest to ever do it. But yeah, Fortet just really, I think he's a really incredible musician. I love what he did with Mad Villain. I think last year, the Sound Ancestors record was also super rad. I think it's a shame what's happening with the streaming battle, the royalty thing that's happening with Domino. It's fucked. I don't know. That's another conversation. But I hope they give him his dues and his flowers, because he deserves it, you know?
While we are talking about streaming services, you put out a tweet a couple of days ago where you were encouraging your fans to not use certain streaming services and rather buy your songs or listen to your songs on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
What was that totally all about? What was going through your mind when you posted that tweet?
All right, so I'm new to Twitter. I didn't even think that people would read my Twitter. But, you know, I think it's different for us who are making not popular music, or, you know, who are doing experimental music. I think streaming is trash the way that they set it up, you know, and it's a catch-22 where, you know, I understand that, you know, everyone wants their music to be streamable so that masses could hear their music, right? It makes sense. However, you know, when you put money and energy and time and yourself into this thing and, you know, you don't get anything back for it, it's a tough situation, especially if people are trying to make their living off of music, right? And so Bandcamp, I think, is great that they, you know, you see money instantly, you know, if someone buys your record or, you know, a CD or a tape or whatever it may be, merch, and, you know, that can go straight to groceries that day, you know? Whereas if someone's streaming it, that takes, what, 10,000 streams for the same amount of money? Like, that's fucking crazy. Like, I don't even think there's 10,000 people that listen to my music or anything really, you know, underground, save for a couple people. So I think what they're doing is great. I'm glad that they're continuing this Bandcamp Friday. I hope people keep supporting, you know, whoever you like, you know, and, you know, times are hard. Inflation is a piece of shit, but I think the musicians really appreciate that support, you know.
So earlier this week, there was another level added on top of that whole Spotify discussion. Neil Young and Joni Mitchell pulled their music off of the streaming service because they were not satisfied with the way that Spotify is handling or is allowing COVID misinformation to be on their platform. Can you see where they're coming from as a musician?
Yeah, I mean, I think at least here in America too, misinformation is a huge fucking problem. I think a lot of even the election with Trump, you know, with all the crazy articles that came out, you know, leading up to it, having facts that aren't really facts, or, you know, if that's your source of information and that's what you consume, you're going to believe oh, Trump is a great guy. He's looking out for me, you know, which I think is totally the fucking opposite, you know? And so I think, you know, these major social media platforms are, they say they're, you know, getting stricter, but they want to have freedom of speech. And it's just kind of, I think it just radically has gone out of control, you know? And then this vaccine thing with the whole coronavirus is a whole nother layer, you know. I think the narrative of, you know, Asian people bringing COVID here to the States and kind of blaming them, you know, has really escalated the violence that happened, you know, since it came or appeared. And you know, I think the internet is great and it's also awful, you know. And so hopefully we're able to find a, you know, some sort of combination where there is freedom of speech, but you know, misinformation or, you know, garbage like that isn't spread around.
Maybe a philosophical question. What can musicians do about that?
You know, I think they can do what, you know, what Neil did. He stood up for what he believed in, you know. And he put his actions where his words were. You know, he took his music off, and Joni followed suit, which I think is awesome. But you know, there's only so much that an avant-garde musician or, you know, experimental musician can do compared to someone like Billie Eilish or, you know, Taylor Swift. And you know, there was a couple things where I think Billie Eilish said something about the abortion laws in Texas, you know, and that I think made a huge impact, you know, to people who listen to her music, you know, which is millions. And you know, rap is getting huge these days, and you know, some rappers supported other political candidates or you know, speak out on housing or you know, any other issue. And I think that's great. You know, I think that's, if you can influence the youth who are listening to your music with that kind of issues and bring it to their radar and, you know, have them investigate and make their own decisions, I think that's awesome.
We went a little bit off topic here, but super interesting.
Yeah.
We're gonna listen to Rhinestone Cowboy from Mad Villain.
Hold a cold one like he hold a old gun, like he hold the microphone and stole a show for fun, or a foe for ransom. Flows is handsome, O's in tandem, anthem, random, tantrum, phantom of the grand old Opry, acts the dumb hottie, mask, pump shoddy, somebody stop me. Hardly come sloppy on a retarded hard copy. After rocking parties, he departed in a jalopy. Watch the drop top poppy, known as the grimy, limey, slimy, trimy, blimey. Simply smashing in a fashion that's timely. Mad villain dashing in a beat rhyme crime spree. We rock the house like rock and roll. Got more soul than a sock with a hole. Set the stage with a goal to have the game locked in a cage, getting shocked with a pole. Overthrow it like throwing Rover a biscuit. A lot of bitches think he's overly chauvinistic. Let go his dick if that's the case. Racks, what a waste. There's more cats to chase. Dogs, he got it like new powers. Woke up, wrote, and spit the shit in a few hours. Sheesh, been a lease since the Glee Club. Have your fam saying, please make me a dub. Well, since you asked kindly, where he been behind the mask? Who can't find me? You're blind in the wine zone. Leave your mind blown when he shine with the nine. He's a rhinestone cowboy. Oh, no, enough. Goonie Google, loony cuckoo, like Gary Ganu off News or Review. But who knew the mask had a loose screw? Hell could hardly tell, had to tighten it up like the Drells and Archie Bell. It speaks well of the hyperbase. Wasn't even tweaked, then it leaked into cyberspace. Couldn't wait for the snipes to place. At least a track listing, bold print typeface. Stop for a year, come back with thumbtacks, pop full of beer. We're hip-hop sharecroppers, used to wear flip-flops, now rare gear coppers. He's in it for the quiche, you might as well not ask him for no free shit, capiche? Oh, my aching hands, from raking in grams and breaking in mic stands. villain. A smile stunned the chick while he put himself in your shoes, run your kicks. You heard it on the radio, tape it, play it in your stereo, your crew will go ape shit. Raw lyrics, he smells them like a hunch, the same intuition that tells him spike the punch. Curses, he's truly worthless, with enough rhymes to spread throughout the boundless universes. Let the beat blast, she told him wear the mask, he said you bet your sweet ass. It's made of fine chrome alloy, find him on the grind, he's the rhinestone cowboy.
Rhinestone Cowboy by Mad Villain in the Fortet remix. Next up is another band, Patrick, in which you also feature, Fubutsushi. How did they get into contact with you?
Yeah, so this was pure coincidence. Not coincidence. It was meant to be. But this was Matt Sage's idea to kind of bring us all together. He's worked with all of us. With Taz, he's put out a lot of music and they collaborated a bunch. He's played with Chris on violin. I think Chris has appeared on a lot of his solo material, and I'm familiar with Matt just because he put out the first Don't Get Some Nine album on Patient Sounds, the label he used to run. And he reached out to all of us in the quarantine, and it was fantastic. It got me out of the depression I was in, that, you know, the uncertainty of COVID and what was to come, got me back to playing my horn. And we wrote 4 albums and an EP, I guess you'd call it, without ever meeting each other in real life. And it was great. You know, I think we have undeniable chemistry as far as making music. And, you know, when we were able to finally meet, we played for a festival in Columbia, Missouri. And it was just fun. It was like we knew each other for a super long time, and playing, you know, a few of those songs was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. When I look at the liner notes, I see which instruments you played on that album. And there's a few in there that I didn't immediately associate with you, like Glockenspiel.
Mm-hmm.
And guitar.
I actually have a degree in classical guitar performance.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a million guitar players also. And I feel saxophone is, I can express myself better with that instrument. But yeah, you know, going back to the Fubuchi stuff, it was all recorded more or less at home, you know, in all of our respective homes. And so we wrote those 4 records in like a year and a half span. And so, you know, as the records kind of moved along, we were very intentional with how we wanted, you know, each record to be regarding the season. And you know, I have a couple instruments here, I had to borrow some, and just, you know, experimenting and trying new things. And they're super supportive with all the choices, and I think we all kind of evolved, you know, also as songwriters from that first record to the last.
We're gonna play a song off of Yamawarau. This is Fubutsushi with Kodama. Thank you.
くなり、遊んだ川は枯れていく。
Butsushi, and the song was Kodama off of the album Yama Warau. Next up, another Japanese band, Koenji Hyake. Their album Anger Shishpa came out in 2005. I had a listen to it. I think somebody described it on the internet as interplanetary opera and prog.
Yeah, totally. They're a band that I really love. I've listened to them for years. Yoshida Tatsuya is a hero. He's, I think, a true innovator and legend in the underground prog world. You know, with Ruins and Koenji Hyakke. So Koenji Hyakke is like his Zool band, you know, which is based off of the whole genre that Magma created. And I am in a Zool band as well, but kind of, you know, building off of that whole love for that music. I love this band. You know, like you said, there's operatic vocals. They all are, you know, singing, there's saxophone in it, incredible time signatures and everything. And it's just really awesome music. When COVID hit, I was supposed to do a 2-week solo tour in Japan, and it was supposed to conclude with the duo show with Yoshida, and we were going to do some sax ruin songs, and then he was going to learn some of this other sax drum duo that I'm in called Ordspunk. He was going to learn some of those songs, and then we were going to improvise. I was so excited. I was like, oh my god, I'm going to finally get to like hang out with them and make music with them. And the pandemic hit. But hopefully we'll be able to reschedule everything to when things are better.
Rhythms Freeze by Koenji Hyakke. Thank you. Gwenji Hyake with Rhythm's Freeze of the album Anger Shishpa, came out in 2005. Next up is the Flying Luttenbachers. Haven't released an album in quite a while, but last year they released Negative Infinity. Have you been following the Flying Luttenbachers for a while?
Yeah, I've been following them for years, you know. I really got into that whole brutal prog world pretty intently. And yeah, it's just, I feel like the complexity and, you know, what the bands in those, in that genre is trying to, or not even trying to, that dude accomplishes, you know, awesome. It's mind blowing. It makes me really excited to hear that, especially for the first time, and just like really listen to what they're doing. I was like, wow, what the fuck is happening? You know? Yeah, I'm really excited for this new, you know, iteration and, you know, what they're doing. I feel like it's kind of a return to form. I like how they explored, you know, with the free improv kind of stuff. But for me, I just love it when they really get down into the really technical and, you know, together or unison parts, you know.
The Fury of Delusion by Flying Luttenbachers.